There's an old joke in yeshivot about sichot, and that is that usually the people who are the intended audience are the ones who don't show up. Today it means that we have a very large intended audience. But here we are, it is the day after Shavuot, so it is 2 weeks, literally 2 weeks to the day before... or about 2 weeks before the end of the year. And I've been thinking about what is likely going through people's heads as they approach the last 2 weeks of the year, and how they... So I'm sure there are lots of different things that are going through people's heads, and I wanted to address two of them today. One, there are some people who are saying, oh great, soon it'll be over. I can go on to the next phase of my life. And I can mark off on my resume, I did that. Yeah, like, you know, I've got my bucket list in life. Go to Machu Picchu, go shark diving, spend a year in yeshiva. And it's one of the things that I mark down on the things that I have to say that I did in order to be able to move on in my life. And that's one attitude that... I imagine there are some people who take when they think about the upcoming weeks. There's a completely different attitude that some people take, and that is, oh my goodness, I only have 2 weeks left. How can I finish all the things I want to finish in the 2 weeks I have left? And how can I make sure that the things that I learned over the course of the year stay with me for the rest of my life? I imagine there are some you know, different things that people in between those two poles. I want to talk for a minute about that second one, and maybe some of the things I say that are relevant to that second one might be relevant to the first category as well. When I was your age, a few decades ago, so I had a friend, and I remember we were in yeshiva together, and I remember being blown away. Somewhere towards the end of the year in yeshiva, we were talking, and he said, well, I know exactly what's going to happen afterwards. I'm coming back next year. I plan to come for 2 years. After that, going back to YU, I'm going to spend 2 years in YU, I'm going to graduate. After graduation, I'm going to get married right away. I same girl that I've been dating, you know, since 11th grade in high school. So we're going to get married, and then I'm going to go to dental school. When I finish dental school and my internship that I have to do after that, so it'll probably take me about 2-3 years, and then I'm going to make Aliyah. And I'm going to come back and live in Yerushalayim, be a dentist in Yerushalayim. I was shocked. Like, at the age of 16, he had this all planned out. And he knew exactly what he was going to do. And in fact, I run into him every couple of years. That's exactly what he did in his life. He spent the second year in yeshiva. He went back to YU. He graduated. 2 weeks later, he got married. Went to dental school, finished dental school, did his internship, came back, and raised a beautiful family here. I was extraordinary. And not only that, but he also had planned out exactly how he was going to make sure that he never lost anything of what he learned in yeshiva. He made a plan. He had this plan down. I mean, that part of the plan he sort of worked out as he went along. But he said, look, I know I'm going to learn so many and so many hours a day. He's a dentist today. He still does that. He spends 2 hours every morning with the chavruta before he goes to work. And it's unbelievable. And he says, look, and at night I'm going to learn the following with my kids. And on Shabbat, we're going to learn the following at the Shabbat table. And he had a plan. He has followed that plan for more than 40 years. It is inspiring. It's unbelievable. And it is so profoundly depressing. You know why he's saying it's depressing? Because he's living out the plan of an 18-year-old. I would imagine when he was 25, he'd want to be living a plan that was designed by a 25-year-old, not one that was designed by an 18-year-old. And when he was 40 and raising his children, he would have a little bit more wisdom than to be living his life on a plan designed by an 18-year-old. But as a 40-year-old, he's letting the 18-year-old telling himself what to do with the rest of his life. And here's a guy, and I bump into him every few years, a really wonderful human being. I have such respect for him, and I am so depressed every time I meet him. Because he has not grown, as far as I can tell, I'm sure I'm missing something, but religiously, he is no more sophisticated, no deeper, no richer in his thinking than he was 42 years ago when he left yeshiva. And that is so depressing. Like, he spent his entire adult life trying to retain who he was when he was 19. So those of you who are thinking about how you're going to hold on to what you have here in the yeshiva, I say it's very inspiring and very, right, it's a wonderful idea and profoundly depressing. Because if your goal is to hold on to what you got here in yeshiva, then you're going to live the rest of your life as 19-year-olds. But I would hope, what I would pray for, is that you see this year that you had as a springboard from which to move forward, a foundation from which to build on, not to be stuck in that foundation underground with no windows, but a foundation from which you can build on, from which you can continue to grow. And I have to tell you, I spend a little bit of time on Facebook. I went on Facebook about 5 years ago simply because I thought, as an educator, I need to know what it is. And then as soon as I went on, a bunch of guys from Eretz HaTzvi friended me. Say, okay, I barely use Facebook, but I get to see what they're up to, and I get to see the things that they're doing in their lives. And I have to say, some of them are quite inspiring in terms of where they've gone and how they've taken themselves based on the foundations that they got here. The kinds of things they're involved with, the kind of growth that I've seen over the last 5, 6, 8, 10 years in some cases. And I think back to some guys, 10 years, and where they've gone. And I think everybody here is capable of doing that. Everybody here is capable and should. I mean, you're 35 years old, you should not be living on a level of a sophistication of a 19-year-old. You should be living religiously rich and informed and intelligent and meaningful and spiritual lives of 35-year-olds, not of 19-year-olds. So I think that's an important kind of perspective. It's not about holding on to what you learned here, is how to build on that and how to grow from that. And that's the same thing I would say to the people who say that, yeah, on my resume did there and I check it off and I move on. If your life is full of bucket list things that you can check off and say that you did, then at the end, what are you left with? Like, who did you become? If going to Machu Picchu is just a thing you check off, then what have you become? If it transforms you in some way, then that can be meaningful. But if it leaves you the same person as you were beforehand, it's just now you have souvenirs and a couple of pictures. So whoop-dee-doo. So send somebody else. You can order souvenirs on Amazon nowadays, and other people, professional photographers, will have much better pictures than you. The experiences in life are meant to transform us. And whether it's Machu Picchu or shark diving
or spending a year in yeshiva. All those experiences are meant to help transform us and to build us in certain ways. And I would hope that down the road, we look back, all of us look back, and not just say, been there, done that, but in what way was that meaningful to me? In what way did that help me to begin a path in which I started and continue to shape my life? And if the yeshiva can serve some important milestone in that process, then even in retrospect, the year could be meaningful. I want to close with a story about one of my other friends who was in yeshiva and did not really take full advantage of his year in yeshiva. He missed more shiurim than he attended. He spent a lot of time out of the Beit Midrash. And in those days, we didn't have cell phones, we didn't have laptops, you know, no movies to watch. And, you know, but he found other ways to keep himself occupied. And what happened afterwards, he went from the stage of been there, done that, to the stage of I wish I had been there and done that. I wish I had used my time better. And what he did was he actually recreated the year for himself. He decided to look back and try to think about, so what were the things that I did learn? Instead of focusing on the things I didn't do, to focus on what I did do. What did I gain? How did I grow? What did they try to teach me that I wasn't ready for then, but I am ready for now? It's an amazing thing in leadership theory. And one of the things they talk about in leadership theory is that great leaders know how to create the past. They know how to take the experiences that we've had in the past and transform them. They give them shape. They're not rewriting history, but they give them a shape and they make the things that we experience meaningful. So for those people who didn't really use their time well, I hope that they can in the future look back and figure out how to do that. And for those who did use their time well, so then I hope that you can build on that and move towards the future so that you can continue to grow and continue to develop and look back and not say, wow, I was such a good guy when I was 19, but rather say, wow, when I was now 19, I laid certain foundations that I was able to build upon, and if it wouldn't have been for those steps that I did back then, I would never have gotten to where I am now.